children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing some praises to our awesome God.
Some people say, you are what you eat. But maybe they should be saying, you are what you think. Just like we need to be careful what kind of food we put into our bodies, we need to guard what kind of thoughts we put into our minds.
From Philippians 4, verse 8.
Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about such things.
Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about such things.
If anything is excellent,
excellent.
If anything is praiseworthy,
praiseworthy. Think about such things.
For my mom and dad.
Angels fly above you. They know that I love you. So I want you dreaming now. I wonder if chin and your nose, before I counted your fingers and toes, I asked heaven for someone wonderful as you, and every prayer and wish came true. I dreamed of you before I knew your name. Wonderful as you, and every prayer and wish came true. I dreamed. your name.
Way to praise the Lord. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Marcus Julius Agrippa, Herodes II. My, what a name. And what a man to bear the name.
You want something, I can tell.
Not really. I have a suggestion to make, that's all.
Your suggestions are like commands. What is your command, my queen?
No, truly, just a suggestion. I thought it would be nice if we made a courtesy visit to the new governor, Festus.
If you will go with me, it is a good suggestion, your royal highness.
I'll go along, your royal majesty. But it will cost you.
How much?
It'll cost you 3 new gowns.
Well, that's not too high a price. We've been here a long time, Governor, and you've been a wonderful host.
Yes, we've had a marvelous time.
But we do think it's about time we went home.
It's been awfully nice having you, your majesties. I'm wondering about something, though.
Yes?
You are an expert on the beliefs and superstitions of the Israelites, I believe. I need advice.
Well, tell me about it. I'll see if I can't help you.
When I became governor, I found that Felix had left a certain man in prison. When I went to Jerusalem, the chief priests and elders of the Israelites told me about this prisoner, asking me to send him to them for trial. Now, this I could not do, as it is against Roman policy. So, the accusers came here. We tried the man in my judgment hall. I had been led to believe that the prisoner was a dangerous criminal and deserved the death sentence. Instead, it was a question of their own superstition over one named Jesus, which had died, but whom Paul, the prisoner, claimed had been resurrected from the dead.
Sounds interesting.
Quite, Your Majesty. I could find no wrong in the man, and could not find him guilty of the charges. To gain favor with the Israelites, however, I did suggest that Paul be taken to Jerusalem and tried before the Sanhedrin. But Paul refused.
Refused? A prisoner? Well, he has no choice.
He does. You see, he's a Roman citizen by birth, and he appealed to the emperor. So I am going to have to send him to Rome. However, I don't know what to write to the emperor. That is the legal advice I would like to have from you.
Roman citizen. An unusual case. Before I could give any advice, I would like to talk to the man. Ask him some questions.
I'd be happy if you would, Your Majesty.
May I be there, too?
I order you to be at the hearing.
Yes, Your Majesty. Will it be just we three?
No, if it meets with the governor's approval.
His Majesty's wish is my command.
Where have I heard that before? Why not have some of the accusing Israelites present?
With His Majesty's permission, I shall use this occasion for an imposing display in honor of my royal visitors. The rich and principal men of the city, the chief captains, and all people of importance will be present. Then, with great pomp and blowing of trumpets, His Majesty's will enter. With the gleaming swords and armor of the officers and the rich robes of the guests, it will be a brilliant and unforgettable scene.
I like it.
So do I.
The guests arrived at the judgment hall. Great men, wealthy men, men of renown and importance. Army officers with their armor and swords gleaming. It was a grand, imposing scene. Trumpets sounded, and the imperial couple entered, acknowledged the approval of the guests, and took their place in the seats of honor. Then Paul, chained to his soldier guard, was brought in. There was nothing about his appearance that would lead the world to pay him homage. Yet in this aged man, apparently without friends or wealth or position, and held a prisoner, all heaven was interested. Angels were his attendants. had the glory of just one angel flashed forth, the pomp and pride of royalty would have paled to nothing.
He's older than I thought he'd be.
But he is no novice. He stands straight and erect, proudly. The pomp and wealth and power of those about him does not daunt his courage or rob him of self-control.
His face, his bearing, his courage and unfaltering spirit testify to the greatness of the man. No wonder the Israelite leaders fear and hate him. It's jealousy, pure and simple.
King Agrippa and all who are here present, you see this man against whom all the Israelite people, both here and in Jerusalem, have brought complaints to me. They loudly proclaim that he should die. But I could not find that he had done anything worthy of death. And since he himself has made an appeal to the emperor, I shall have to send him to Rome to be tried. But I do not have anything definite about him to write to the emperor. So I have brought him here before you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that, after hearing his case, I may have something to write. For it seems unreasonable to me to send a prisoner to the emperor without clearly stating what the charges are against him.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? He spoke to the rain and the rain stopped falling, and he spoke to the wind and the wind stopped blowing, and he spoke to the waves and the waves stopped rolling. What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? He must be the Son of God. He must be the Son of God. 'Cause he spoke to the rain and the rain stopped falling, and he spoke to the wind and the wind stopped blowing, and he spoke to the waves and the waves stopped rolling. What kind of man is this? 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 He spoke to the rain and the rain stopped falling, and he spoke to the wind and the wind stopped blowing, and he spoke to the waves and the waves stopped rolling. What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? He must be the Son of God. He must be the Son of God. 'Cause he spoke to the rain and the rain stopped falling, and he spoke to the wind and the wind stopped blowing, and he spoke to the waves and the waves stopped rolling. What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? He must be the Son of God. He must be the Son of God. 'Cause he spoke to the rain and the rain stopped falling, and he spoke to the wind and the wind stopped blowing, and he spoke to the waves and the waves stopped rolling. What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? He must be the Son of God.
I've got an idea. Let's play a guessing game. I'll sing some clues about an animal, and you see if you can guess what animal I'm singing about. I am fat and round and close to the ground, and I make a funny snorting sound. I roll in the mud, I grow very, very big. What am I? I am a pig. I like crumbs and yum
What are you looking for?
My science book. The one with the picture of the moon on the front.
How can you find anything in that locker? It looks like something exploded in there.
Something did. My science project.
By the way, how's your praying going? God still ignoring you?
Actually, no. I did what you said and started listening after I pray. And I think he's given me some pretty good ideas.
Like what?
Well, last week, when my mom was sick, I asked God what to do to help her get better.
And
God gave me a really good thought.
Let me guess. He suggested that you not bug her all the time and let her rest?
Well, that might have worked too. But after I prayed, I thought about soup.
Soup?
Yeah, you know, soup. So I made some.
You made your mother something to eat?
Yep, I made her my famous Carlos stew.
You have a stew named after you?
Yes, it's all natural ingredients and comes in a can labeled tomato soup. I just added my secret ingredient, and she loved it.
Your secret ingredient being...
crackers.
Carlos, that's tomato soup and crackers. There's nothing secret about that.
Ah, but when I gave it to her, I whispered, Mom, here's some soup to make you feel better. I made it myself, and I love you. She smiled and said thank you. Soon, she got better and told me that my Carlos stew was the best medicine there is.
Next time I get sick, you can make me some Carlos stew too. But you can leave out the I love you part. Just give me the soup.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 8, Angel in a Red Hat. In the black stillness that followed, neither Grandpa nor Willie spoke. Willie thought about the voice from above. Grandpa? he said softly several minutes later. Do you think they'll come back soon? It's hard to say, Grandpa said. Probably not till morning, like the man said. I wonder if that's what Jesus' voice sounds like, Willie said thoughtfully. When that voice called my name, I thought for just a minute that Jesus had come to help us. Don't you think he did? Grandpa spoke slowly, like it hurt to talk. He often uses people to do his work, you know, other people, and his angels. Willie noticed that Grandpa's voice sounded weak and tired. Dear Jesus, he prayed silently, thank you for sending the helicopter and your angels, but Jesus, something's wrong with Grandpa. We need to go home. Please have your angels protect us for one more night, and please, please send people to get... Willie fell asleep. When his eyes opened again, Willie felt confused. Something was different, but what? A beautiful sunrise made the sky all pink and blue. Squirrels played on the hood of the car again. Birds sang on branches just above it. The cedar trees smelled tangy. The small river still made its noisy way over the rocks. But what was different? He heard voices. Voices? Voices! Grandpa, Willie exclaimed. I hear voices. Grandpa looked over at Willie and smiled weakly. Thank you, Lord, he said. Then he closed his eyes again. Willie! Willie Taylor! Several voices were shouting Willie's name. I'm here, Willie called back. We're right here. Hang on, buddy, we're coming. Willie could hear the sounds of people tramping through the brush and trees. Then the trees seemed to part and four men appeared. One had a stretcher strapped on his back. Two others had packs on. The fourth man wore a red baseball cap and had a coil of rope over his shoulder. Hey, buddy, how you doing? The man in the red hat said. He seemed to be the leader. What are you doing sitting up in that tree? Another man joked, while a third man talked into a radio. Willie didn't know whether he was going to laugh or cry for a second. Are you angels? He asked. Angels? The man in the red hat laughed. Shucks, buddy, we're no angels. But we do help them out now and then, the man with the stretcher spoke up. He and one of the other men had gone around to Grandpa's side of the car. Mr. Taylor? Mr. Taylor, how are you feeling? Grandpa just smiled and nodded his head. Please help Grandpa first, Willie begged. He hurts a lot, I think. While the other men worked to free Grandpa, the man with the red hat spoke to Willie. I'm Joe Mason, he said as he reached up and pulled the car door open. Then he held up a canteen. Want a drink? Yeah, thanks, Willie said, reaching for the canteen. He took three big gulps, then handed it back. Well now, Mr. Mason said, are you ready to get out of there? Yes, sir, Willie responded. Mr. Mason stepped onto a low branch so he was on a level with Willie. He put his finger on Willie's wrist to feel his heartbeat. Do you hurt anywhere? I don't see any blood, but you sure are dirty, he said with a chuckle. Did you bring half the mountain down inside the car? Then he put his left hand on Willie's right knee, and with the other hand he felt along Willie's leg and foot. He did the same with Willie's left leg. Now look at me, Mr. Mason said. He grabbed Willie by the chin and turned his head. He looked in each of Willie's eyes and in both ears. Well, buddy, he said at last, you look in pretty good shape. Just a few bruises here and there. What kind of diet you been on? Graham crackers, Willie said with a grin. Water and graham crackers. Can we go home now, please? That's exactly what we're going to do. Your folks are pretty anxious to see you, Mr. Mason replied as he looked through the car to the men helping Grandpa. How are you guys doing, Dave? We just got his leg free, Joe, Dave, the man who had carried the stretcher, replied. Then he spoke gently to Grandpa. We're going to put a splint on your arm now, Mr. Taylor. You'll be more comfortable then. Let's go, buddy, Mr. Mason said, reaching into the car. He slid one long arm under Willie's legs and another behind his back. Put your arm around my neck, okay? He lifted Willie easily and stepped off the low branch onto the ground. Grandpa? Willie called to his grandfather, but he got no answer. He turned to Mr. Mason. What's going to happen to Grandpa? My men will take good care of him, Mr. Mason said as he and Willie neared the river. They'll carry him out on a stretcher. Mr. Mason stopped and turned around. Do you want to see some friends of yours? He said. He tilted his eyes and chin to point Willie's attention up the mountainside, way, way up the mountainside. Willie could just barely see tiny people looking over the bank, watching the rescue down below. Chris? Willie asked. Is that Chris? He answered my SOS. Yeah, I hear you're pretty good with the Morse code on the flashlight, Mr. Mason joked as he balanced on a log and crossed the river. Willie noticed a big square four-wheel drive truck with the word Sheriff in gold letters on the side. There's a road here? He asked. Well, sort of a road, Mr. Mason replied. It's an old logging road. Hasn't been used for years, but you can drive down it if you have to, and it brought us to you. Now I'm going to lay you down and strap you to this bed, he continued as he stepped up into the back of the truck. Don't worry, this is just standard procedure. Your folks will meet us at the hospital. A doctor will check you over and decide if you can go home or whether you need to stay a while. As Mr. Mason talked, Willie noticed the other men coming along the trail. Two of them carried Grandpa strapped on the stretcher. The last man carried Willie's wheelchair. With just a little repair, I think this will work fine, he said as he put it in the truck. Then the men gently lifted Grandpa's stretcher into the truck. Willie watched wide-eyed. Are you okay, Grandpa? He knew his voice sounded scared. Grandpa wiggled his fingers in a tiny wave. He's worn out, the one called Dave said, but he'll feel better by tomorrow. Hey, Mr. Taylor, Mr. Mason's voice boomed cheerfully, didn't that graham cracker diet agree with you? Grandpa just smiled, then closed his eyes. As the truck began to bump slowly along the old road, Dave sat down by Willie and patted his arm. You've been a brave kid, he said. How did you happen to know the Morse code? Not many people use it anymore. All the way back to Mill Valley, Willie talked with Dave. He told Dave about practicing the code, about the landslide, and about praying to be rescued. You know, Dave said, I think it's one of God's miracles that you and your grandpa are alive after all you've been through. That was quite a landslide and a rough trip down the mountain. Angels helped you. I'm certain of it. At long last, Willie could tell they were in town because the truck was on a smooth road and because he could hear a lot of cars. Joe Mason had been leaning over Grandpa doing things to him for most of the trip. He talked on a telephone several times, listening and nodding his head. Once he took out a big needle and gave Grandpa a shot. Willie watched while he talked to Dave. Finally, he burst out, Are you sure Grandpa is really okay? He looks so white. Willie's eyes were open wide, and he felt a big lump in his throat as big as a golf ball. He doesn't move. Is Grandpa going to die? Is he?
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 8, The Rock Slide Rescue, written by Sandy Zaug, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.